Like to call your attention to some scripture that is found in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I want us to begin reading together with verse 11, Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning with verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou goest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. And that's reading from Deuteronomy 30, beginning with verse 11, and reading through verse 20, the end of that chapter. I want to speak to you today about the contrast of good and evil, the contrast of good and evil. If you look back to the 15th verse that we read, it says, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. And we know that certainly both of these things exist, and that there is indeed a great contrast between them. I want you to notice in this that life and good are associated with one another, and that death and evil are associated with one another. There is blessing that's associated with good, and there is cursing that is associated with that which is evil. And you know, you can find throughout all Scripture, there's a very simple teaching that really does go throughout all of the Scriptures, and that is that you can be blessed by obedience and cursed by disobedience. God will reward for obedience, and he will recompense for disobedience. And so these things both exist. Now, none of us that are here today have yet known the beauty or the joy of living in a world where evil does not exist. It's all around us every day, isn't it? But for those who are saved, one day we will experience that blessing. We will know what it is to dwell in a place where there is no such thing as evil, because God has prepared a place for His people that there is no sin. And evil does not exist there, but it does exist, and we are associated with it all the days that we live in this world. We know evil within ourselves, don't we? And we know things such as the Apostle Paul stated there in the 7th chapter of Romans. He said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And so when we think about this, I want us to go back to what I believe we could look at as being the source, the very source of good and the very source of that which is evil. And we read about both of these things in the first three chapters of the book of Genesis. And I want to share with you today just somewhat of a review. I won't be saying anything, I'm sure, that you're not already very familiar with. But let's think for a moment about some things that we are told in the beginning of the Scriptures. We read about God being the Creator. We read about how that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters and said, let there be light, and there was light. And God began to shape and to mold the world that He had created into exactly what He wanted it to be. And we read through that first chapter of Genesis, we read how that on the third day, on the fourth day, on the particular days of the 6 days of creation, we have record of what it was that God created that day. And then it tells us that the Lord saw what He had made, and behold, it was good. And then we find in the Scriptures there, also at the very conclusion of the first chapter of Genesis, we find how that upon the completion of God's creation, on the sixth day of His creation, when He had created man and He was finished with His creation, and He looked at, the Bible says that He saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And so the Lord looked at the things that He had created, and He had not created anything that was bad. All that He had made was very good. And the reason for that is because, and Brother Mike Wheat made this statement right at the end of his Sunday school lesson today, but the reason for that is because God is good. He is good. And so everything that He made was good. Indeed, it was very good, and God is very good. And, you know, when you make the statement that God is good, as far as I'm concerned, the word good takes on a meaning there that can only be applied to God. You could say God is good, or we could say, we could talk about someone perhaps that we know and say, you know, I think that man or that lady, I think they are a very good person. I think he's a good man. I think that she is a very good woman. And we could say that, and the Bible does make reference to good men, to good ladies. But listen, when we say God is good, we know that He is completely good. God is totally good. You know, we could say about one another, we could say that person has some very good qualities, but we all know, if we're honest, that we also have some that are not so good too, don't we? That we also have some that are evil, and so we know that all of our ways are not good. And the Apostle Paul said also in the 7th chapter of Romans, he said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And I really believe, you know, the Bible tells us, I believe in the 37th Psalm, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." And I really believe if you take what the Scriptures say about mankind, because we're also told in the 14th chapter of Psalms, in Psalm 14, I believe it is, it talks about how that the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, and he saw that there was none good, no, not one. And so I think that the only way that you can really associate good with a person is if they have made good by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, how you feel, but I don't have any problem standing before you today and just confessing to you that the only thing that I consider to be good about myself is what the Lord did for me when he saved me. If God had not changed me, if I was not a product of his grace, there's not anything good to say about me, because I was depraved. I was, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, and my heart wasn't right until the Lord saved me and made it right. And so the only thing good, as the Apostle Paul said, "God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's the only thing that I have. I don't have anything to boast of in myself, but I have a lot to boast of in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is good. He is completely good. There's nothing about God that isn't good. And the things that he does are very good. The things that God touches, God can take something that's no good, and he can touch it and he can make it good. God can, as the psalmist said in the 40th Psalm, "He brought me out of a horrible pit. He brought me out of the miry clay, placed my feet up on a rock, and established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." And so, when we are in sin, we're in a horrible place, aren't we? We're in that miry clay. We're in that horrible pit. But when we look to the Lord and we repent and we trust in him, when he saves us, he can bring us out of that, and he can make us a new creature in Christ Jesus, where old things pass away, and behold, all things have become new. And so we're talking about good, and we're talking about evil. And so we read about, in those first few chapters of the book of Genesis, we read about God, and we read about the things that he does being so good, but we also read about the serpent, don't we? We read about, or as we are told, as he is called in the Revelation, we read about that old serpent, the devil. And he is present there. And, we find there in the third chapter of Genesis, we find that the Bible says that he was very subtle. He was very cunning and crafty and sly, more than any of the other beasts of the field. And so God had spoken to his creation And he had told them what was expected of them. But the devil also came along and he talked to them as well, didn't he? He came along and he talked to Eve concerning the things that God had told her. Now listen, whatever God says, and remember, we're talking about contrast. We're talking about the great difference between that which is good and that which is evil. Everything that God says is true. God never tells a lie. He never tells a lie. Everything that he says is true. And everything that he told Adam and Eve was true. When he told them that if they were to transgress his law, that they would die, he told them the truth. But the devil comes along and he tells them that God did not tell you that because you would die. He told you that because he knows that when you, if you were to eat of that fruit, that your eyes would be opened and you would become as gods, knowing good and evil. And I'm telling you that he told them a lie. Everything that God says is true, and everything the devil tells you is a lie. Everything. Jesus spoke about him in the 8th chapter of John, and he said that he was a murderer from the beginning. In John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning, and that he abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Now, you know, I don't say this to, I don't say this to take issue or anything like this. I'm just saying this is the way that I look at this. I've heard it said, and I've read where somebody had said that back when the devil spoke to Eve, that he told her a half-truth, because the Bible does tell us that they, when they did that, their eyes were opened, that they become as gods, know good and evil. I don't look at it that way. I believe the devil told a lie. He lied to them, and that's all that he did was he lied to them. He told them that if they were to, he actually told them, if you think about it, that God had lied to them. He told Eve that God had lied because he said, you won't die. But what did God tell them? You'll die. You will surely die. And so Jesus said that the devil abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. He said when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own because he is a liar and he's the father of it. He's the master of it. Let me tell you something. You know, there have been people that have somewhat perfected the art of lying. But let me tell you something. There's nobody that can lie like the old serpent. There's nobody that can match the devil in telling lies. He's the master of deception. And he's ultimate evil. I'll tell you what, there's nothing good about him. I mean, isn't it a shame that he has actually been worshipped by some? Because there's not one good thing about him. God, on the other hand, the scriptures tell us in first chapter of Titus, I believe perhaps verse 2, the scriptures tell us there that God cannot lie. In the 6th chapter of Hebrews, I believe maybe verse 18, it mentions the fact that it speaks about it being impossible for God to lie. And so you're not going to hear anything from God that's not true. As the old saying goes, listen, if God says it, you can take it to the bank because it's true. That's all he does is tell the truth. That's all the devil does is tell lies. That's the contrast. Everything that the Lord put his hands to was good. It was good. It was very good. All that the devil has ever touched has been a disaster. It's never accomplished anything good. From the very time that he rose up against God and was cast out of heaven, he has never done anything that's good. And let me tell you something. Don't listen to the devil. In 3 John 11, it tells us that we ought to follow after good rather than after evil. Don't listen to the devil because he will try to, through his cunningness and craftiness, he tries to persuade that the things that he puts before us will be good. But they won't be. They will not be good. Now, you know, the Bible tells us that God never tempts anybody to sin. God doesn't do that. In the first chapter of the Epistle of James, in the 13th verse, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God tempts no man, for God cannot be tempted with sin, neither tempts he any man. But we are tempted when we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed." God does not go around tempting people to sin. He never does that. That's not his way. That's not his nature. Listen, the devil never does anything but that. He tempts people to sin. He comes and he speaks in your ear and he tempts you to sin. That's the devil. That's his work. Good at it. He's good at it. And listen, if we don't watch and if we don't put on the whole armor of God, we're not going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the formula that we're given in the scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're told to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And if we don't do that, and if we don't pray always in the Spirit, if we don't make supplication to God to help us, we will fall into the snares of the devil because we don't have the strength ourselves. But God can deliver us. I've said this before, I'll say it again. If the devil would take Jesus Christ himself and tempt him the way that he did, don't ever think that he's afraid of you. Don't ever think that he's afraid to come and try to tempt you. The Bible tells us about a man by the name of Job. The Bible tells us that he was upright. He was a man that feared God. He was a man that shunned evil. But listen, the devil wasn't afraid to come to God and challenge him concerning his servant Job. And as I said, the Bible tells us there in Matthew 4 about the devil taking Jesus himself there and tempting him and trying to get him to follow after him and trying to get him to sin. And he will do the same thing to us. And Jesus, the Bible tells us that when the devil tried to tempt him, that Jesus used the sword of the Spirit against him. And he said, it's written. Tell you what, God gave us some good stuff, didn't he? Amen. I mean, he gave us some great instructions on how we can serve him and how that we can avoid the snares of the devil. God is all about giving life. He's all about life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he came that we might have what? Life. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He came here to give us something great. He came here to do for us what nobody else could do. And listen, when you get saved, oh my goodness, isn't that wonderful? I mean, isn't it good to be saved? I'll tell you what, let me tell you something. There's nobody that can stand up. I don't care if you've gone through 4 years of seminary school or whatever it is. There's nobody that can stand before people and proclaim the goodness of God the way that people can that have been touched by the hand of the Lord. I'll tell you what, if you've been saved, you can say, God is good. He's good. He's great. And he's greatly to be praised. I thank God. He's a good fellow. He's a good God. He's wonderful. There's nobody else like him. Folks, listen. We were lost. We were lost in sin. We were on our road to eternal damnation. And there wasn't a thing that we could do to pull ourselves out of that. There wasn't a thing that we could do to change our sinful nature. We were going to go to hell because we're sinners. And I still preach it today. And others still preach it today. It may not be popular to everyone today. It may not be popular and isn't even popular in some religious orders today. But I still say this to those who are lost. If you don't repent of your sins before a holy God and experience salvation by grace, you're going to go to hell and you're going to suffer the eternal flames of that place. That's where we were headed. And had it not been for God, that's where we would have gone. Had it not been for the goodness of the Lord, had it not been for what he did for us, that's exactly where we would have ended up. He came here so that we could have life. He came here to give us eternal, everlasting life. You know what the devil brought? You know what the devil brought to the world? He brought death. That's the contrast. His work, the work of Christ, brought about the opportunity for us all to have everlasting life. The devil brought about death. Look back and see what happened. What happened in the garden when they listened to the devil? What was the result of that? Was it not death? Was it not death? Sure it was. First it was spiritual death, spiritual separation from God. Later on they experienced natural death because of their transgression. Listen to what the scriptures tell us that Jesus did. The scriptures tell us that he came here. It's in Hebrews 2:14. This is not quoted verbatim, but this is what that verse teaches. That Jesus came here and he took upon himself the flesh. He came here as a man. He came here in the flesh that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, and it says that is the devil. The devil. Death. Death. Lying. Temptation. That's all that he's about. He's ultimate evil. Whenever people listen to the devil, evil follows it, doesn't it? It never turns out good. When people listen to God, it turns out good because he is good, and he tells us good things, and he gives us good instructions, and he leads us in good ways. The devil don't, or God doesn't lead us, rather, in paths of sin. That's what the devil does. God leads us in paths of righteousness for his namesake. I'll tell you what, if you're lost today, the devil's out for your soul. He's out for your immortal, eternal soul. He doesn't want you to go to heaven. He wants you to go to hell, where he's going to be. Not because he cares anything about you. He wants you to go there because you'll suffer. God will put him in his place one day. He sure will. The Bible says he knows that he has a short time, and he will wreak evil and havoc as much as he can. That's all he's ever done. Life and good, death and evil are before you today. They are before you today. The Bible here said, choose life. Choose life. And lost friend, that's what you need to do. You need to choose to seek Jesus for life and for salvation. That's what he came to give. Brother Wayne, let's have a song. You know, in the lives of those who are lost, you need to listen to the Lord. You need to listen to what God tells you in your heart, because the devil will speak to your mind and he'll tell you lies, but you need to listen to the Lord. And those of us that are saved, we need to listen to the Lord, don't we? We need to listen to him. The devil's not going to tell us anything good, but God will. He will. Let's stand and sing.
Number 148. I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could live on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees I learn to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I had done a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. Down on my knees I learn to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Number 245. 245. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me.